Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
So I want to share with you what the Lord showed me this week. I've titled this message, Seeing in the Dark. Seeing in the Dark. And I want to read to you before we start, Isaiah 50, verse 10. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. I was reading that this week and I was praying, and the way the Lord speaks to me is I get pictures. And so I had my eyes closed, I was praying for you guys, and I all of a sudden saw a picture of myself in my house, and it was bright and all the sun was shining through the windows. It was a beautiful day, there was a breeze blowing, and I'm walking through the house. It's perfectly neat and clean and just lovely, and I'm enjoying it, right? I'm enjoying the atmosphere. I'm walking freely through every room. And then in a flash, the vision changed, and it was the middle of the night and I was asleep, and I felt thirsty in this vision. I got up to have a drink and I went to turn the lights on, and there'd been a blackout and I couldn't see anything. But because I knew the layout of the house, have you ever done this when you can't see? You just go, I just know where to go. And I got myself that drink of water and I went back to sleep in my vision. And as I saw this picture, I'm like, Lord, why are you showing me this? This is what he said. He said, I want my people to trust what they learned in the light, so that when the darkness comes, they'll know the way. And you know, it makes me think of that quote. You've probably heard it before. It's actually by Victor Raymond Edmond, who is a minister and an author. He said this, don't doubt in the darkness what God told you in the light. And I actually believe the Lord wants to remind us today that what we learned in seasons of fruitfulness, we can carry in seasons of difficulty. And there's revelations, there's things he's given you that you need to draw from in seasons of bewilderment, seasons of discouragement, seasons where you can't see. And he's saying today, go back. Remember those things so that you can move forward. And I actually believe the Lord is calling us into a season where even if great darkness falls upon you, whether that's in your life, whether that's as a church, whether it's because of things happening in the world today, because you know the house so well, you know God's house so well, you have a relationship with him that you are forging, you'll know how to walk the way. And because you know what it looked like in the light, you can move freely when it's dark. And you can truly say, just like in Isaiah 30, 21, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right or where you turn to the left. And I believe we're in a moment right now, friends, where God is going, hey, this is the way, walk in it. You might not be able to see, but you know the house, you know my heart. And so I loved that the Lord showed me that picture. It was so encouraging to me personally. And I started to unpack it with him this week. And I want to share with you four things the Lord showed me about how you can see in the dark. And this was so much fun to put together, can I just tell you? The Lord encouraged me so much. So I'm going to tell you four things. Number one, walk slowly. It's very profound, isn't it? You can't walk in the dark like you walk in the light when the lights are turned on. You might know the way, but have you noticed you're a bit more ginger? Like, I'm like, there might be Lego on the floor, the dog might have kicked a ball. So even though I know the way, because I can't see, I'm more tender in my walking. And you know, you have to walk differently in seasons when things are difficult, but that's okay. It just because it's a little slower, it doesn't mean there's something wrong. And you know, It's still walking. It's still walking, but it's a different kind of walk. You're a lot more alert. You're careful. You pay a bit more attention. And, you know, let's compare that to spiritual terms. There's something happens in the spirit when we walk this way. And this is what I believe happens. When we walk slowly, wisdom comes when we slow down. Wisdom comes to us. And this kind of walk actually reminds me of a story I heard by a monk called Thomas Merton. I actually love reading all the classics and people and the Christian mystics, you know, the people that had encounters with the Lord from hundreds of years ago. I love reading all this stuff. And Thomas Merton, he was a monk in the 60s, but he shares this beautiful encounter with a deer in the forest, and I'll connect it all in a moment, but listen to this story. It's so beautiful. So in late December 1964, he records a moonlit morning walk down to his monastery, and this is what he says. With the hard diamond leaves crackling under my feet, a deer sprang up on the deep bushes of the hollow, perhaps two deers. Then he goes on and he shares this continued encounter with these deers on the monastery property over 1965. He says this, a lovely moment that stretched into 10 minutes or more as monk and deer stood looking at me and I at them in the evening light. They did not run, but eventually they walked quietly away into the tall grasses and bushes, and for all I know, they slept there. Mid-March comes along, 1965. The deers start to approach the hermitage porch, allowing him to walk in the dim dusk and moonlight only 20 feet away from them. And he goes on to say this, they remained peacefully, quietly, until finally I started to move about. Then they lifted up the white flag of their tails and started off in a wonderful, silent, bounding flight, only to stop 100 yards away. And then a week later, I discovered a dozen places where the deers had been sleeping in the thick bushes, only 30 or 40 yards from my own bed, exclaiming, this is what he says to end this quote, they are my nearest dormitory neighbours. How wonderful. What a beautiful expression. Now, to make sure you don't walk away from this message thinking I just talked about deers, let me make the connection, which I think you probably have. Wisdom is near you. But if you don't walk the right way, it's like the deer, isn't it? It darts off when we live busy, when we don't pause, when we don't linger to watch, to observe, to take things in. So to receive this wisdom that the Lord wants to give us, we've got to walk a different way in seasons of difficulty, in seasons of darkness. And just like Thomas Merton, there comes a time in your life where you'll not only be able to observe wisdom from a distance, but it comes close to you. Isn't that beautiful? You recognize it was greater than you thought, and it becomes your nearest neighbor. And so I want to encourage you today, slow down, watch wisdom, draw near to you, and walk in a way that wisdom feels comfortable coming close to you. You know, I love this scripture in James 3, verse 17. You'll know it. It reminds me a little of the journey of how wisdom might come to you. How does it come? This is what the scripture says. But the wisdom from above is what? First pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Beautiful way to walk in darkness. And, you know, I want to share a little bit more about how Thomas Merton unpacks this idea of walking slowly, because I think we don't do it in our fast-paced lives. And in some of his other writings, he even calls our activism and our overwork and busyness, do you know what he compares it to? It's pretty shocking. He compares it to violence. This is what he says. There is a pervasive form of contemporary violence to which the idealist most easily succumbs. Activism and overwork. The rush and pressure of modern life are a form, perhaps the most common form, of violence. To allow oneself to be carried away by a multitude of conflicting concerns, to surrender to too many demands, to commit yourself to too many projects, to want to help everyone in everything, I put my hand up when I read that, is to succumb to violence. The frenzy of our activism neutralizes our work for peace. Wow. It destroys our own inner capacity for peace. It destroys the fruitfulness of our own work because it kills the root of inner wisdom which makes work fruitful. Let's walk slowly, my friends. Let's avoid the rush and enjoy wisdom coming close to us every day. We say that, Lord. We say we're sorry if we're going too fast. We're sorry if we're being consumed by all the necessities, the things we think are important. And right now we take a deep breath in and we pause and we wait for your wisdom in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, number two, seeing in the dark. He is increasing your other spiritual senses in these seasons. He is increasing your other spiritual senses. You know, when I'm in the dark in my home, I don't know about you, but I might as well have my eyes closed because I can't see anything. So I can't use my eyes and I have to trust my other senses to understand the layout. Have you ever done that? You use your hands to feel where things are. You listen to hear where certain things are. You know, when I was thinking about this, it's got nothing to do with my message, but it's a memory that I had of doing this once. I was on tour in New Zealand with a band, and it was my first time ever that I was touring. This is going back 30 years ago now. And we were doing church ministry and we didn't have lots of money, so we just would stay in strangers' homes wherever we went. Sounds crazy now, but that's what we did. So we did like 14 ministry events all around New Zealand, and all of us would just get put in different people's houses. And I remember this one night being put in this lovely family's home, and I didn't know them. I'd never met them. It was midnight when I got there. I was exhausted, so they just took me straight to my bedroom. And in the middle of the night, I badly needed to go to the bathroom, and I realized I'd never asked them where it was. So I got up, didn't know where the light switches were. I actually opened their bedroom door, opened the front door. Like, I just opened all the wrong doors, eventually found the bathroom. And I remember just going, touching everything, doing what I'm talking about here. The next morning when I got up and the sun came streaming in, I went into the living area and there was this huge window that overlooked acres and acres of land. And I had a little laugh. I was like, I did not know the beauty of this place or where anything was. And, you know, I just laugh at that memory because I had to pay attention to my other senses because I couldn't see. And I actually believe when we're in seasons of darkness, this is actually what the Lord's trying to do. He's trying to highlight that sometimes your eyes can trick you, and he's trying to grow your other spiritual senses. What do I mean by our eyes can trick us? You know, I think we become so accustomed to seeing a certain way that we don't recognize that God is trying to speak to us in other ways. We get so used to it, which is great. It's great that God speaks a certain way, but we totally ignore all the other ways that he wants to speak. So for me, for example, I'm a big dreamer. Ever since I gave my life to Jesus, I'll have a dream 3 or 4 times a week where the Lord shows me things. Even this week, I was asking the Lord about something, going to plan it. I had a dream that was the total opposite of what I was planning, and I'm like, oh, okay, God wants me to do that. But you know what happens is that I'll often not pay attention during the day. because I just know he's going to speak to me at night. Maybe he doesn't speak as loud in the day because he can't get a word in. That's why I have dreams. I don't know. But he wants to speak through a multitude of ways. For example, he's not just speaking through his word, is he? He's speaking through nature, through creation. You know, the sons of Issachar, the reason why the sons of Issachar in the Old Testament were considered the prophets was because they didn't just know the holy texts. They observed the sky. They knew the timings and the seasons because they were also astrologers. Can you believe that? And so a lot of people today go, let the prophets be like the sons of Issachar. I'm like, well, it's not just your head down all the time. You have to look up. You have to look at what is happening around you. God is speaking everywhere. The scriptures even say this. Psalm 19 verse 1, the heavens declare the glory of God. That means that all around us, wherever we're looking, God is trying to speak to us, isn't he? And so, you know, as someone who's prophetic, I think everything means something. Is anyone else like that? I'm like, oh, I tripped then. What does that mean? Oh, the rain started falling at 3:05. What does that mean? That's the kind of person I am. And I'd rather be that kind of person so I don't miss what he's saying. And I think the Lord wants us to increase these spiritual senses so we do not miss one thing that he wants to say. You know, I want to ask you this question. What would this season look like if you used your other spiritual senses to see? Now, you might be going, I don't even know what they are. That's the joy of discovering with Jesus, that he wants to speak to you, not just in one way, but in a multitude of ways. He's wanting to grow your discernment in new ways of listening to ancient truths. And that's exciting to me. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about our physical five senses. And I was reminded of a conversation I had with Ray Hughes. I don't know if you know who Ray Hughes is. He's awesome. But he told me, he goes, Roma, do you know they've just discovered there's more than five physical senses? There's something like 33 physical senses. Do you want to know what some of them are now that I've said that? So we know there's sight, you know, all those ones, smell, touch, all that, right? Let's have a look at this. There's something called, I can't say this word, I'm going to try, equilibrioception. It's a sense of balance. They're saying that's now a sense. This is what keeps you upright, helps make your way around without getting hurt. You know, as I started to think about that, I thought of a prayer and I want to pray it right now. Lord, help us to become more aware of the balance between spirit and truth, the balance of how we live our lives and how and when to recognize the moments of speeding up and slowing down so that we can live a life in balance with the Holy Spirit for our lives. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Here's another sense, proprioception, which is body awareness. What's that? That's knowing which parts of your body are where without you looking. Now, that's like, for example, you know when you type on a computer keyboard and you don't even think about it, or you can have your eyes closed? Some of us can do this. I can just type because I've done it for so long. It's body awareness, looking without looking at the keyboard, or you can walk without watching your feet. You can do that. That's actually called proprioception. Let me pray this. Lord, increase our prophetic insight so that we can know things that are on your heart in the moment. And as we speak, you will be speaking. That our mouths would be like a keyboard speaking out that which is on your heart and on your mind. Lord, I pray the prophetic will manifest in a way without us even looking at it. It's just part of us, and all that we are doing, whether we're doing the groceries, ministering, or cooking a meal for our family, in Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Here's another sense, chronoception. That is how we sense the passing of time. Now, I got excited about this because another sense, which I don't mention here, is sense of direction. I do not have that sense. If I did not have Siri and the maps on my phone, I would not have got here today. That's the honest truth. Or if Ted wasn't with me. But chronoception, I definitely have this understanding, or how you sense the passing of time. Doesn't matter where I am in the world, if I wake up in the middle of the night, I don't know how, I just know what the time is. Has anyone else got that? I'm just like, it's so cool. I don't know what I'm ever going to use it for, but it's a cool feeling. I'm just like, oh yeah, it's about 4 o'clock. And I do this as a little trick to myself because I love it so much. Every time I wake up before I check my phone, I go, oh, it's probably 4:30. And I'm generally always right. That's chronoception. That means you have that sense. Let me pray something spiritually around that. Lord, I ask that we would be like the sons of Issachar in this season, who knew and understood the timings and the seasons in you, that we would be like the watchman on the wall, discerning what is needed in the moment, that we would discern chronos time, the normal passing of time, and kairos time, the moments in the spirit that are a window of God opportunity time. In the name of Jesus, amen, amen. Here's one more for you. Electroception. Now, I like this one. This is the ability to feel electrical fields around us. What? I didn't even know that was a sense. And then I thought of the times that I'm under really high power lines. Has anyone ever felt, I feel different when I'm under power lines? And, you know, sharks actually have this ability. They can detect electrical fields in their environment, including those who emit it by prey that it can't see. That's how come it's such a predator and it can be so strong. It's sensing the magnetic fields of animals. Let me put that into a spiritual prayer right now, because as I read that, I got excited. Lord, we ask that we would become a people who are increasing in spiritual discernment. We would be accurate discerners of spiritual atmospheres and therefore know what to be and do in a moment. But I also ask, Lord, that we would grow in sensing the electrical current of your glory, and that we would tap into that power to become partners and co-laborers with you. And everybody said, amen, amen. All right, point three. You have not lost something in the darkness. You have not lost something in the darkness. I want to share, I love scientific facts. I'm a bit of a sci-fi nerd, which is why, Prima, when you prophesied about going where no man has gone before, I was laughing because I love Star Trek. I was just like, he's talking my language. He prophesied over me before the service. So, did you know that you lose one sense? When you lose one sense, you ready? Other ones increase scientifically. That's pretty cool, don't you think? You're not losing anything. That's what I want to tell you. You have not lost something. You're about to gain something. And it looks like you've lost something, but it's not the case at all. This is what science says about those things. This is from an article by Dr. Rachel Tomper. So she actually says this: the brain literally rewires itself to strengthen the remaining senses. And this is what she says: a recent study shows that there's a quirky phenomenon where people lose one sense but gain near super abilities in another. Blind people can hear better. Deaf can have a type of enhanced vision. These super senses are not just learned behavior, but the brain actually remodels itself, giving more real estate to other senses when one of them is missing. Amazing. She goes on to say it's all about neuroplasticity, and it's all about the change in perception. We switch to understanding sound, we can change to sight. And if you think of the brain, she says this, like a complex electrical system, it's not so much that our bodies switch the red and blue wires when needed, it's that they can turn red wires blue. That's incredible to me. The brain literally rewires itself. So what does that mean? You know, I think about it in my own life. I actually wear hearing aids. I have sensorineural hereditary deafness, and I believe the Lord's going to heal me one day. But in the meantime, I'll tell you, my smell, I have a superpower of smell. I wish it was something else, but that's what I got. And the kids and the family always laugh because I can go, something's burning and no one can smell a thing. In fact, in January this year, it was really hot. This is a gross story, but I want you to remember the point I'm making. I walked into a house one day and I was like, I can smell something dead in the walls. Can you smell something dead in the walls? And everyone was like, no, there's nothing dead in the walls. And I'm like, it's so bad I couldn't even watch TV. It was in the lamp, like I was dying. No one could smell it. The rat catcher guy comes, can't find anything. It got worse and worse and worse till we discovered a dead rat in our underneath our thing. And it was bad. And I was like, thanks, Lord. Thanks for that superpower of smell. I appreciate one day it's going to come in handy. It didn't come in handy then because I had to leave the house to relax. It was so bad. But I'm sharing this to say to you that the Lord will use the darkness to increase other ways of hearing his voice, because all things work together for good. Nobody wants to be in the darkness. None of us like it. But the Lord will use it to increase your sight and your hearing in the spirit. And I actually believe, just like Dr. Rachel said about the brain rewiring itself, I heard the Lord say, my church is in a rewiring season. He wants us to change the way we think, the way we feel, and the way we operate in the kingdom. And he needs to remold it and shape it because we're in a new season on the earth. So the old ways of seeing and feeling and sensing are not going to work. It's still the ancient truths, but we have to grow. We really, truly have to be like the sons of Issachar. And you know, one way that the Lord will increase that rewiring is by using those dark moments in our lives. I love that nothing is lost. Nothing is lost when we live in the kingdom. And I want to encourage you that it's because he wants to attune all of your senses. You know, I can't help but think of an example from scripture of one sensation or one sense reflecting the increase of another. There's actually a couple of scriptures that talk about it. Here's one of them, Psalm 40, verse 3. He put a new song in my mouth, that's speaking, but what happens when he does that? Many will see and fear the Lord and put their trust in him. Does that blow anyone's mind? I'm like, how are they connected? You know, when Steph was singing the prophetic song, what happens? The kingdom opens up in our spirits. We experience his presence. So she's releasing with her mouth and many are seeing. That's what that scripture's saying. Singing and seeing are connected. I believe that hearing and seeing in the spirit are connected. Tasting and seeing. Did that come up in your mind? Taste and see that the Lord is good. He's developing, my friends, new superpowers within you to conquer anything that the darkness will throw at you. I'm so excited about that. All right, next point. In your blindness, turn to the invisible. In your blindness, turn to the invisible. What does that mean? Well, let me unpack it by reading this beautiful scripture in Romans 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without an excuse. Now, Paul wrote this scripture, and what he's saying is look at the invisible. He's talking about God's invisible qualities, which are what? His eternal power and his divine nature. But he's saying this. He's saying, even though it's invisible, you can see it. How? From what's been made. Look around you. He's saying everything is declaring the glory of God. A sunrise is revealing God's eternal power and nature. Inventions, clever ideas reveal God's nature. I mean, sticky tape, we use it every day. That's so smart. Those pool noodle things, they're awesome when you've got kids. I mean, it's crazy inventions. Like when I look at those things, if I have my eyes open, I see the invisible. I see the goodness of God. He has imprinted himself in everything that you can see with your eyes so that your spiritual eyes can see who he is. But sometimes we don't see it. And it's because we are numb to that which we see all the time. Have you ever just seen something a certain way for so long that you stop seeing it? Have you ever gone to the kitchen cupboard to look for the tea or the coffee and you can't find it? And you're like, where is this tea and coffee? And then someone comes along and goes, there it is, and it was right in front of you the whole time. Sometimes we become numb because we've looked the same way in the same place for so long. And we do this in church. But the Lord's going, it's time to look at the invisible. It's time to see with new eyes so that we don't become distracted in our walk with God. You know, we can become lazy. We really can. We become distracted. We become bored. And it's moments like this that we become exposed to the darkness. It takes us by surprise. Maybe you've felt that way the last few months. You can feel a bit lost. But sometimes, my friends, I want to say to you, it's good for us to be blind because it makes us look to the invisible. There's nowhere else to see. And if it doesn't happen, you'll look the same way. It's his kindness that allows us to change things in our lives, and he wants us to see the way that he sees. He wants us to see the invisible qualities. You know, I had a little word study of what those invisible qualities mean: eternal power and divine nature. Listen to this. Eternal means ever during. What does that mean? It means forward and backward. I love that. It's like God can fix what's happening now. He can fix what happened in your past, and he knows what's coming in the future. It is eternal. What's the power? Dynamis. It's strength, power, ability, power for performing miracles, the power and influence which belongs to riches and wealth. I found that interesting. Moral power, power and resources arising from numbers, power resting upon armies, forces, and hosts. That gives me a whole new perception of what does the invisible qualities of the Lord mean. He's saying he wants us to see those things, that he is a formidable force, that he's bigger than the biggest army, that he's got all the wealth and the riches that we need to reign in life. He has got everything that we need if we will look to the invisible. And if you needed to be blind for a moment so that you could focus on that which you couldn't see, wouldn't you want that kind of blindness? I know I would. So not all blindness is bad. And we even see this in the life of Paul, don't we, when he lost his sight once. Paul, who wrote this very scripture, who wrote the book of Romans, who wrote that verse, knew all about losing one sense and gaining strength in another. Let's have a look at that. 25 years before Paul wrote that scripture in the book of Romans, he was on the road to Damascus to imprison the Christians there. He thought he was doing a good thing. He'd murdered so many Christians. He saw things a certain way. And then in Acts chapter 9, verse 3, this is the story. Now, as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven shone around him, and falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, who you are persecuting." And then he was blind for several weeks. But his blindness caused him to hear the Lord's voice. And then eventually he saw things in a different way. He learnt to see the light in the dark. And so I want to tell you today, you might feel blind, but the Lord's just going, hey, I'm going to show you the way. I'm showing you a different way, because sight isn't just with the eyes. I want to end with this. You know, there's different ways the Lord wants to speak to us. He is rewiring his church. He is wanting to change the way we sense and the way that we see. But why is he doing this? Why does he want us to see differently? Well, I think that in these two scriptures I'm going to read to you to close, we have an answer. Ephesians 5, verse 14. For anything that becomes visible is light. And therefore it says, awaken, O sleeper, arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. He's trying to wake us up. He's shaking the foundations so that we will be alert and ready for what is to come. And Ephesians 1 verse 18, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. The beautiful thing about our precious Lord is that whenever anything comes your way to pull you down and drag you down, he will use it for his good. He'll use it to wake you up. He'll use it to wake his church up. He will use it to enlighten the eyes of our understanding. So let me summarize what we've shared today. And I want to pray for you, if that's okay. I want us to pray together. Seeing in the dark. These are some of the things I felt the Lord downloaded to me. Walk slowly so that wisdom will come close to you. He's increasing your other spiritual senses. You've not lost something in the darkness. In your blindness, turn to the invisible. Why? So he can wake you up and lighten your heart to hope. Why don't you just stand with me right now? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want you just to close your eyes and lift your hands to heaven, just any way that you receive from the Father. You can come down the front if you want. You can kneel. Any way that the Lord is going to capture your heart, you just feel free to do that. And I just want to pray. I want us to pray that those shackles that have dragged you down, you know, sometimes when difficult things come or happen, you go, is it because God's not happy? Is it because I'm doing something wrong? No, you know, it says that the vine produces more when he cuts it back. He's pruning you for more growth. He's pruning our church for more growth. So, Father, we just come as a body right now. We lift our hands, we lift our hearts and surrender to you. And we say, Lord, increase our spiritual sight, increase our spiritual senses in a way so that we will hear you with clarity. We will operate in the kingdom in a way that reveals your glory like never before. Lord, I just want to say right now that we come against those moments of darkness that have brought discouragement, and we say, no, Lord, no more discouragement. We break it off, every person here, in the name of Jesus. We command it to flee. We command it to go. Lord, I ask that you restore your hope to your people. Hope like a well pouring in and pouring out, that there would be an increase of hope that also brings an increase of joy in this season, Father God. And we come against the enemy who would want to use the darkness to steal, kill, and destroy. And we say thank you, Father, that even in darkness, in the book of Genesis, you created the heavens and the earth. You see things that we do not see, Father, in the darkness. And so we say right now that that which came to steal, kill, and destroy will actually produce life. It will emerge. Growth will come from the ground. The seed seedlings that cannot be seen will burst forth like an oak of righteousness. And we say, Father, we surrender to that. We say, prune us, change us. God, we want to be fathered by you. We want you to change us from the inside out so that we may see you in ways that we have never seen you before. Lord, we want the next phase of what is happening on the earth for us to be a mighty, formidable army in your kingdom, Lord. And so we do away with all that has caused us to pull back. Lord, I even say, Lord, that discouragement that causes people to shrink, that it would now cause growth to come forth in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I just release that over every person here. May this be a day, Father God, that is like a stake in the ground. A stake in the ground. Where we say, no, this is who we are. This is who we are. This is who we serve. And in the name of Jesus, I ask, Lord, you to release your favor and your grace in a way you never have before. There's some of you here, you're tired. You're just tired. And it's tired because you're doing good things. The Lord is going to revive you right now. I just see in the spirit, like, wow, I'm seeing like rain just pour in this place, pouring down on you. It's like supernatural refreshing right now in the name of Jesus over every single one of you. And the Lord says, do not grow weary in well-doing. Do not grow weary in well-doing. For in the right time, you will see my glory in ways you could not have imagined. Whew. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for an increase in Numa South of signs and wonders, Father God. Yes. I thank you, Lord, that in worship, I just hear in the spirit bones cracking back into place. It's like you're not even laying hands on people. You're just worshiping Jesus. You're saying, open my eyes, Lord, to your glory. And I can hear it in the spirit, just like the cracking of bones falling into place. Spines being realigned as you worship in purity and in spirit and in truth. I see some of you getting up to preach. Steve, I want to prophesy over you, if that's all right. I just saw you preaching the gospel. I saw you up here preaching, and it was like the Lord was revealing, he was giving you revelation as you prepared, but then he was changing it on you as you preached. And he was laughing as he was doing it. Like, you're like going, this is what the Lord's given me, because he's doing layer upon layer of revelation in your life right now. So you're getting a revelation to preach. You start to preach, something's coming out of your mouth, and you're like, where did that come from? That was awesome. And immediately shifts in atmosphere are going to take place. You're going to be like, how did that stuff come out of my mouth? And I just literally see the Lord laughing. And he says, revelation upon revelation and rest upon rest, refreshing upon refreshing for you. This is going to be a season of running, but it's also a season of resting. He's like, you are not going to burn out. You are going to know the rhythms of my grace, the Father says. I'm reminded of this story. I keep hearing it in my spirit, so I'm going to share it. It was about a guy that had something wrong with his voice. This is only in the last 20 years. And something happened in his voice and he couldn't preach properly. It was like breaking all the time. And he found out that he had, I think, a paralyzed vocal fold. And there's a video, an audio of him preaching, talking about how one day the Lord's going to heal him. And that he'll never stop preaching, even in the hard times. And as he's preaching, his voice gets healed. And he says, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And everyone starts laughing. And I feel like the Lord is going to surprise you in this season with moments like that. You're like, Lord, I'm plowing the ground. Lord, I'm plowing the ground. And then it's like you strike gold. You strike gold. And you strike gold. Lord, I thank you that this is a man who is a gold digger, Father God. A gold digger. And just as we talked about senses, that he would have the spiritual sense to find the gold. And as he finds the gold, just like in the natural, if you found a big chunk of gold, it would change everything. It would change the way you live. It would change the way that you look after your own family, not just the church. There is providence coming to you. Providence coming to you and out of you in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you. Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us, that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmark.church. Thanks for listening.